This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australians are feeling pretty confident when it comes to spotting online scams, but new research suggests that confidence might be misplaced, especially as scammers turn to AI-powered deepfakes that can look and sound alarmingly real. Deepfake scams are no longer just futuristic threats. More than a quarter of Australians have encountered one in the past year alone, and they're targeting everyone, not just older Australians. To help us understand what's going on and what practical steps we can take to protect ourselves, I'm joined by Professor Monica Whitty, Professor of Human Factors in Cybersecurity at Monash University. Professor Whitty, thank you for joining us on Joy Drive.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So when we talk about deepfake scams, what are we actually talking about in plain English?
Yeah, when we're talking about these scams, we're talking about video and auditory, so stuff you can hear, that has been manipulated by cyber criminals to appear real, authentic. So you can create a celebrity, you can create a voice that's familiar to you, family member, etc., by using the AI. So what they do is they have some images, sometimes of a celebrity, someone else, and they're able to develop that into something that appears real in real time. They can pick up voices from family, friends, whatever, by having a small snippet of their voice and being able to turn that into something that's genuine. They don't have to have all the words to be able to do it. So what you think you're looking at, that you think is a real video of someone that you might know or hear someone you might really know, it could be something that's been created by a cyber criminal.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about some of the things I've seen online. So on my social media account, sometimes a feed will come up and there will be someone famous. We can think about a particular person who runs one of the superpowers of the world, and there's a lot of videos of that person.
Yeah.
And it looks and sounds just like him. And
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and the thing is that there's a message that sounds like it could be what he said, but it's not.
Yep.
But there's a part of you that goes, "Ooh, really?" Because, you know, this person says so many outrageous things.
Yes. Yeah, and that's exactly right. So they're good examples of deep fakes. So you can have a lot of funny ones, right? Mm. And so you might see, you know, a president doing a funny dance, and you might think that he's all buffed because the deep fake has made it look like that. Mm. And our sensibilities know at that point that's probably not real and it's done as a joke. Mm. But when people are asking you for money because they're in an urgent situation and you know them and they need help, or they're suggesting that this investment's a really good investment, just trust me, or they're developing a relationship with you that you think is real on a dating site or whatever, it could be a deep fake, or it could be audio that's also a deep fake.
So if I've got an online presence, or, you know, for instance, so we broadcast here on Joy, and if my voice is captured online somewhere, can a scammer get a copy of my voice and somehow manipulate that and turn it into like a message that makes out something that I've said, which actually isn't real? Is that possible?
Absolutely. Yes, that's absolutely possible. Yeah.
Wow.
So the technology in the past was pretty basic, where people have probably come across them. You can put your voice into something and it can translate into something different, make you sound like a different gender, different ethnicity. But now the technology can actually make it sound like you. So someone might ring your mom and say, "Look, you know, I'm in deep trouble. I've had my wallet nicked overseas. I really need some money urgently. I'm not going to, you know, cope." Mm. And your sensibilities say, oh, gosh, I've got to help my son. Mm. I can't, you know, let them struggle like that. And you follow the norm of being helpful and caring, and you send that money into an account that you think is genuine, and it's a criminal's account. So they use a few things. They don't just give you something fake. They set up a situation where you are needing to urgently respond to something.
It's interesting. So, this was something where there was a text message. I know it's a text message, and we're talking about the deep fakes as far as now, images, video, audio. But my parents-in-law, they actually rang me one day and we're traveling on the road, my husband and I, and they got a message to say, hi, Mum, I need money. I've lost my phone. And then she messaged back and said, is this my husband's name or his sister's name? So is this, and then they just said, it's my husband's name. And so there was this, you know, asking, I need a bit of money to help get a new phone. And so then the mum rang me and she said, are you aware of what's going on with my husband? And I went, no, he's on his phone. He's sitting right in front of me. And she didn't believe it until I handed my phone over to him. And my parents-in-law, they're well-educated people, very intelligent. And even the text message scam got them.
Yes. And this is a really good example, because let's say we bring voice into the equation, where you could, because you had your husband's voice right there next to you, it becomes more authentic. So they believed you when they heard Mark, right?
Yeah.
So you add that to the equation of scamming someone, people trust voice more, they trust visuals more. So it becomes more trustworthy and more likely to trick people.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, we're chatting with Professor Monica Whitty from Monash University about AI-driven deepfake scams, why they're so convincing, who they target, and what habits Australians can build to protect themselves. Now, there is a common assumption that older people are more vulnerable in this space, but I think your research shows that Australians over 65 are only slightly less likely than younger people to spot a deep fake. Do you know why that is?
Yeah, it's actually CBA's research. I can't take credit for this particular one. But yeah, I have done research over the years for exactly, looking at detecting scams. And the reality is there's a scam out there for everyone. So we're all vulnerable, but probably more vulnerable to different types of scams. Mm. And when it comes to detection of the AI and the deep fakes, they're becoming so real that we can't rely on our ability to detect them anymore. I think the research found that people thought they were going to be a lot better than what they actually were. Mm-hmm. And that equates to the optimistic bias that, you know, to get around in the world, we have to be trusting and optimistic and feel like, you know, everything's going to go well. But unfortunately, the reality is our detection abilities, because of that technology, not because we're stupid, means that it's very hard to detect. So relying on that to be able to get you out of the scam is becoming, you know, less likely.
It is interesting to think about. I mean, we talked about just the financial scams that people often ask for money, but there's also the potential of other scams such as relationship scams. They're also high on the list. What makes those scams particularly damaging?
Yeah, those scams are damaging, not just because of the money they lose, and they do lose an awful lot of money, a lot of victims, but also the loss of the relationship that they thought was genuine. They felt loved and they really, you know, enjoyed that relationship. Yeah. They believed they were going to marry that person ultimately. And so all their worlds kind of fall apart in those situations. And the deep fakes and those, they were being used many years ago when I first started doing research on this. It wasn't very good, the technology, but now it really is. So the Nigerian or West African criminal that's trying to set up a relationship pretending to be someone else, like an American general or whatever, can make themselves look like that and sound like that now, which becomes even more scary.
Yeah, and I just think about, like, so many vulnerable people, and not all people who, they would just never in a million years think that they would be potentially caught up in this. And I'm just wondering about the sense of, a lot of people might feel a sense of shame, and they probably hide the fact that they might have been scammed. So is there sort of a case, are there a lot of cases that we might not have detected because of that sense of shame that people carry with them, and so they don't speak up?
Oh, definitely. They feel shame. They also blame themselves. So they're still blaming themselves these days, despite, you know, the media around it and being told, you know, how clever criminals are. They still, fraud is something people tend to blame themselves for. And for the relationship stuff, it's really hard because they've pushed a lot of their family and friends away with them in the scam, that where they support people, because the criminals are so clever to be able to social engineer that, but they say anyone that doesn't trust our love, you don't need them in your lives because our love is real and they don't understand. So that makes it really hard as well. But also I think people don't report scams also because they don't think they're going to get anything out of it. So when you report a crime, you believe that that person is going to be caught and they'll be sent to prison for their crimes. But with fraud, it's very unlikely they're going to catch the criminals. And if you want your money, you need to contact the bank immediately. And it has to be so quick. It may be that you're likely to lose your money. It's more likely you'll lose your money than get your money back. So when people know that, then they think, well, why should I bother reporting this to reporting agencies? What's in it for me from all of that as well?
That's a really good that's really good to think about it from that perspective. I hadn't thought of that before. I sort of thought about it from the emotional point of view, but also, yeah, it's like, what's the point? What can they possibly do? They've got my money. It could be from overseas, law enforcement, etc. So thinking about ways, because I know that some of the, like, we've often the messages, like, from our banks, we get the emails, we'll never ask for your contact details through email or through text, etc. But now that the sort of the situation has changed, so we've got these AI deepfakes, what are some simple ways that people can, what simple things that people can do to reduce their risk around being caught up in these scams?
Yeah, there are a number of things you can do. You can have a safe word. So to family and friends, you can say, look, this is a safe word if you think that someone's ringing you for something that might not be genuine. You need to stop and you need to think about the situation. And I guess what my advice to people is actually do things differently. So don't try and look out for these scams anymore. And phishers are very hard to find, but rather do these online activities differently. If you're going to do an investment, do your some good research on investment. Don't rely on a company you've never heard of. Don't rely on someone you've met online that you think is a person in authority. Do your own research on that. With a romance, rather than detect if they're real or not, because you can do that through Google image searches, but that's getting harder. If my advice is meet that person face to face as quickly as you can in the first 2 weeks. If they won't do that, and you know some people are shy and may not want to, it's just better to let it go because it could be a scam. And once you're in those types of relationship scams, they're very, very hard to get out of because you want them to be real.
Yeah, absolutely. That's some really great advice. Thank you so much. Professor, that has been incredibly helpful. And thank you for reminding us that while scams are becoming more sophisticated, well, the basics still matter. And that particular piece of advice about don't let it linger on, go ask to meet them. And if you're not being able to meet them in the couple of weeks after being chatting with them online and talking to them on the phone, that's probably a really big red flag.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much. That was Professor Monica Whitty, Professor of Human Factors in Cybersecurity at Monash University.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.